You are listening to the Frilla Bros Tech Podcast, episode 91, Bad Ideas. All right. There was some, I'm going to call it reverse news this week as well. I guess, because there was news last week, and then they undid the news last week.
It's the right way to... my favorite title was, it was an Xbox 180.
Yes, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Xbox 180. Oh, that is so...
Yeah, everybody was like, you wrote that article just to get that title out there. That's the reason you did it, and everybody clicked on it because of that title. It was brilliant.
Would she not? That's what it's about.
You know?
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
I might steal it for one.
I don't blame you. So, and now we've given it credit, so everyone will be like, hey, that's a clever title when they read it, and then they'll be like, oh, wait. When they listen to the show, it is clever because you didn't come up with it. So Microsoft, or do you want to talk about it?
I can. Microsoft essentially undo everything they said last week. No, not everything. Couple things. Number one, you no longer will have an internet connection required to play offline nice. Xbox One games, which is nice to have. And then you can also trade in, lend, resell, gift, and rent discs based on games you like, just like you do today. So they solved that big problem. And the one section that I liked, should I put that? Did I throw notes? Yeah, I did. They were essentially like, we at Xbox love games. More importantly, we at Xbox love gamers. And so then they said, we're changing the way that you resell and the internet connection. But they were just like, yeah, we were wrong.
Yeah.
We are bad. So that's the end of that social experiment.
Yeah, that was a crushing blow. And the problem, it's funny. There's so many different aspects of this. Number one, I'll start where I care. The engineering angle of this is fascinating because like they kept coming at it as like we can't just flip the switch and turn this off. Like the gears are turning and is leaving the station. We can't stop at this point and say no, we're not. Or it's not even leaving the station. It's almost arrived at the next station. We're basically done with the system. You know, you're talking about core firmware, not even, you know, not just like OS level. I mean, this is a big change that that you would be asking us to make. And everybody was like, ooh. And then all of a sudden, like 3 days later, they're like, so we're going to turn that off. Which a lot of people were complaining because basically you're just saying you couldn't turn it off in order to try to like, you know, pull one over on us. And a lot of the Microsoft employees like stepped up to bat and were like, no, you don't understand. Like, my life has been ruined for the next 3 months. Like I don't have a social life anymore. I don't live in my apartment. I don't have kids or a wife or if my grandmother dies, I get to call her on the phone 15 minutes because I'm, you know, while she's on her deathbed, because the rest of the time I'm going to be reprogramming the firmware, the operating system, the fundamental securities of this system. And what's going to be really interesting to me is, I think, will be what will happen when the system launches. Because I think, you know, the expectation is that these things just work when they launch, and I don't think it will. I think you're going to have a lot of blue screens of death, as they were, a lot of, not necessarily red rings.
I mean, and you still got the $100 price premium. I think Sony's going to come out doing just fine as a result of this. You know, obviously that was their whole intent, was to take some of the wind out of Sony's sail, which, you know, they had a lot of wind supplied by Microsoft blowing it.
Yeah.
But you know, so that was part of their intent. But I still think that Sony, yeah, just like you said, you know, it takes time to squash those bugs and to have all those people who buy them. You know, it's similar to when SimCity launched. And,
right.
you know, it was like, man, all sorts of issues. And we'd love to play and love to do stuff, but we can't. And, you know, they're going to grapple with that.
Right. And I think it's one of those things where what really annoys me, or what I think, or not annoys me, but I think what's going to be interesting is that this is such a role reversal where the last round, you know, the Sony PlayStation 3 was, it's one of its biggest features was it was the, one of the most affordable Bluetooth players on the market at the time. Blu-ray. Because Blu-ray had just launched. And so it was really thought of as more of an entertainment-centered investment that happened to have a game system, you know, attached to it. And they used that to justify the higher price than the competitor systems. And it came out with a bunch of buggy launch titles and just poor performance overall. And it was those three things, the lack of attention on games and the attention to it being an entertainment center, the price difference and the bugs caused it to just completely faceplant out the door. And it was going up against the Wii. That was the weird part, is that it wasn't even going up against its main competition, because, you know, Nintendo exists in their own little universe, like, it's just the strangest thing in the world. But know, but even given that it wasn't really competing directly with the Wii, it just was a timing thing. And I always make the argument that if you're competing for my dollars, you're competing against this other stuff. I don't care if your pizza company doesn't think you're competing with the movie that I'm going to go see later in the night, but if I end up spending my money on the movie instead of your pizza, guess what? You're competing. And so, you know, very practical way they are competing, but they're how they see their competition, I should say. And now it's toe-to-toe, it's just a which of the two super powerful systems are we going to go with. Microsoft seems to have literally done their best to copy all of the things that Sony did to completely, you know, mess up last time around. it's wacky, man.
Well, it's like, it's kind of weird if you think about it, because when Sony did the PS3, you know, for the most part, they were flying high. They were on top with the PS2. And so it's almost like you walk in with a confidence of, hey, we can, I don't want to say maybe we can get away with this, or we can, you know what I mean? We can push the bounds and the envelope and people will buy because we've kind of got a lock in. And you suddenly find out very, very quickly, oh, never mind. No, we don't.
Right. And the big question to me is, what could Microsoft do at this point to, you know, try to negate the problem?
I think if they are able to ship a product that's not buggy, I think they'll be okay. I think that $100 price premium is going to be a tough pill to swallow. But, you know, they do something like, oh, you know, we threw in gold membership for a year.
Yeah, that's true.
Something that, you know, you go, cool, I can try that for a year, and now they got that recurring revenue, because once you do it, I'm very highly doubt you'd ever stop.
Right.
And, you know, so I can see them doing something like that, or get the price a little bit closer. I don't know. They work with game developers to get their prices $10 less.
Right. That could,
or
you know,
at least
make a
they
difference.
Really play up the download thing, so it gets rid of you know, again, it does exactly what we said, right? You know, let people trade just like normal, but then highly, highly, highly encourage developers to make them downloadable and sell them for a little bit less because they don't have to make the discs anymore.
Right.
And, you know, so me as a consumer, yeah, I'm looking at the hardware, but I'm also looking at here's my printer vernacular coming out, you know, the supplies, the consumables, the games. Well, what's the price of a game going to cost me? And I can quickly start to do the math, and I go, okay, I know I'm going to buy 2-3 games a year, or this is I'm going to, you know, if I buy 10 games in the next 3 years, which I know I will do, the system, and, you know, or at least the same price. So I think you can, I don't know. But I think if they make a good machine that doesn't have bugs and they continue to make good games, I don't think it'll matter.
Yeah, and I think they really did kind of, I think their biggest thing is that they squashed one of the biggest drum beats of their issues, you know, early enough where I think it's not going to quite become as much of a, you know, prejudice against the system as it could have been, which was...
Yeah, we'll all forget about it by the time it actually releases.
Right. It'll be more of a footnote of something stupid they did, and the only real lingering ghost of it will be any bugs that are in the system because of, you know, whatever. But it's not like nobody's, you know, free of bugs, because PlayStation, or Sony pushed out their PlayStation 3 this... last week and bricked like 10% of their systems. It's just like, what the heck,
oh,
guys? Yeah, I know. So, you know, and really it doesn't. That's the problem, is it like almost never happens, but it did happen this time. It's a bit of a mistake. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Whoops. What do you mean, whoops? You and I have got to work on our communication.
That way.
Oh. Oh, that's a great movie. I should watch that tonight.
That is. I want to watch Superman again. I'll get there.
You know what movie I really want to watch tonight? And I might actually download it, is The Matrix. I haven't watched The Matrix in such a long time. That's such a
you got to download it? I thought you owned the DVD of it.
I do, but it's at home.
You see, you got to do what I did, which is I converted all my movies that I wanted into digital formats.
Yeah.
And I've got just an external hard drive, and so I'm just not taking up all the space on my computer. But when I want to watch something, just quickly download it onto my machine, watch it.
Right.
Which is really fun when, like, going on vacations and stuff, because it's just, I'll just load, which on my wife's laptop, not mine, because I have an iMac. But just... You know, we'll load up 5-6 movies, and you go, all right, cool, we're set. So, like, when we take this road trip to Colorado, July, sometime, middle of July, that's what we'll do, and we'll just watch movies for the 23-hour trip. Yeah. No, we'll float
that's
up.
That's right. Colorado is a long distance from you. That's a long trip for me, too, but it's a lot longer for you all the way up in Oregon.
And where I could tell I'm getting older, too, because I have actually, like, reserved for just one, because it's going to take 2 days to do it.
Yeah.
But I went ahead and did the math and was like, okay, if we leave this time, we drive this fast, where would we stop? And
are you saying you're getting older because you're exercising more wisdom, or are you saying you're getting older because you don't like the adventure of having to sleep in the car as much?
Yeah, that one. Because it used to be, just drive until I get tired. We'll find a rest area, pull off to the side, or, you know, a Walmart parking lot, whatever, and we'll sleep for, you know, somewhere between 2 and 4 hours, and then drive again.
Do you take the Prius or the Jeep on those kind of long trips? Probably the Prius, right?
Well, we'll take the Prius, which it was really nice when I had the truck because I could actually stretch all the way across. And Jessie could be in the back seat, I could be in the front seat, and then she could keep sleeping and I could drive after I woke up. But the problem, and here's what killed me. We took the Jeep once. Vinny.
Yeah.
He did not do well in the car. So... We were driving to California, pulled over at a rest area because you know, the game I like to play is, we'll leave Friday night, we'll drive as far as we get, and then we'll just wake up and we'll be there Saturday morning, go out to breakfast, you know, have our day. But all night, every single time a car drove by, what was that? And then he was barking at things, and at a rest area, there's like cars every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he slept during the day because he had been up all night. I'm just like, I hate you, dog.
Yeah. That's funny.
So he's coming with us, too, which is kind of the other, you know, we'll sleep in the hotel. We'll still only sleep, you know, 4 or 5 hours and then hit the road. But
yeah.
I'm getting older, man. I can't do that.
That's funny, man. Yeah, I'm not quite there yet. I got another 3 years.
Now, all that to say, I did find, you know, like, budget in and stuff like that, so it's going to cost me an extra, I think it's like an extra $60 or $70 for both of them.
Yeah.
The way there and the way back. So it's like, that's the other part. I'm like, that's worth it. I can pay that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, Dude, yeah. I waste that much money on stupid stuff all the time. That's not true, but it feels...
Well, I managed to really derail... I don't even remember what brought that up. But what I want to talk about... I have no transition. oh, here we go. Speaking of getting older and like rethinking your decisions, what if you had an opportunity to your Yahoo username?
To what?
Would you be interested?
To do what with it?
To a better one? So, like, for example, my Yahoo username is semi-random. It's my gamer tag, I guess. Not professional at all, let's put it that way. It's gamer tag. and it just so happens that Yahoo is they're going to release inactive Yahoo IDs.
Oh, yeah.
So if you wanted, you could score a better email address, you know, depending on availability.
Right.
So, you know, it's Yahoo's a little older. They've got some older users, some of which are no longer using the service for various reasons.
Right.
And it sounds like they've got this whole database of inactive names that they'd love to free up for other people.
Right.
So that's what they're going to be doing on July 15th. You'll have an opportunity to trade up if you wanted. Instead of having like Albert go 399, you have Albert.
Yeah, I'll bet. I'm going to say, if I could get Matthew at yahoo.com, I'd consider using one as like a serious Yahoo, but I can't. That's the problem.
I was going to see if they had James as an option. I was like, why not? You know, I'll just test some that I think would be cool.
Yeah.
But
yeah, the real problem is that most of the ones that, so it's July 15th. Well, I'll look. I mean, if I can catch Matthew before somebody else takes the nanosecond before they take it, I'll take it and I'll use it too. I mean, that's pretty cool. Whenever you can get one of like the really common names at, you know, Yahoo, that's pretty awesome. But the problem is that like any variation of professional, you know, Yahoo.coms I would use, Matthew Furlow's not taken. Matthew D. Furlow's not taken. Matthew Dean Furlow's not taken. You know, Matthew Dot Furlow. You know, these kind of things are never very exciting for me because I look it up. Oh my goodness, can we get it? And yeah. You can get it. Furlough at yahoo.com might not be taken. The other part of it is that, you know, that email address is already being used by somebody. Somebody, I mean spam bots, which means that you probably would open up day one to like just a flood of spam from, you know, girls in your local area. And you're like, what the heck? Like, how did you? Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm using somebody else's stuff.
That's interesting that you say that. Because it was actually the thought was you may not be able to get one because this is going to be awesome for spammers. Because, and here was their thing.
Oh.
There are a lot of people, and I fall into this camp, where I use Yahoo as a backup for, like, say, Gmail.
Right.
And so I haven't logged in. I've logged in for other reasons, but I could see where theoretically you haven't logged in for a time, and so it's vulnerable to be, you know, repossessed. And it gets taken over by a malicious person because they know. And what they're really going for is to get your Gmail address.
Right.
And you can see this chain of events where they get that, then they get your online banking, they get your social media, and it just kind of, you know, because if you're like me, and I think a lot of people are, my email address, if you get rid of the @ you know, that says a lot. You know that.
Yeah.
Okay, you're halfway there.
Well, you see the thing,
and
that if you can,
and now if you got the backup to the Gmail, you know what I mean, where you could start to, I don't know, it will be interesting.
This is why you make robust passwords. Yeah. I don't know.
There's a part of me that's like, they should really figure this out because you know, as time goes on, this will become a bigger and bigger issue.
Right.
Unless someone figures out how to, like, sell email addresses, just like you can...
No. See, the real solution is...
Address?
The real solution is, and this is actually something that we...
Like, family heirlooms, I have James at yahoo.com.
I know. I think what you'll find, and we've talked about this outside of the podcast before. We might have talked about it in the podcast too. But the idea that you have a unique 10-digit number code that identifies the address of your audio communications, aka your phone number, is kind of archaic. I mean, it's ridiculous. Why is it that I have to tell somebody my 10-digit passcode when I give them matthew@furlough.com as my email address? I don't think I've ever given that one out before.
That's reason number two why we don't care about the Yahoo email.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You and I both, we got exactly what we wanted.
Yeah, we have the best possible email, you know. The matthew@yahoo.com is
P.S. to get that, folks. Had to negotiate with a guy in Slovenia to get the furlough.com domain name, and it was worth it.
I tell people this story all the time because it's awesome. And it's funny, it's disappointing how rarely people pick up on the fact that, wait, you have your first name at your last name.com? Yeah. What the heck? How did you do that? Like, I want that. And then I have to tell them, like, we did it the old school way. You buy the domain, you set up an internet server on the domain, you hook it up to Gmail so that, you know, as a POP client, and then you do the whole thing. I mean, like, and mostly this is my brother doing it. Like, you know, I just kind of ended up with a great, you know, email address at the end of it. Which, by the way, will it to me. Will furlough.com to me.
You seem to be operating under the assumption that you're going to outlast me.
Oh, wow. Hey, man, I lost a lot of weight recently, okay? And you're older than me. That was really dark, dude. That was really dark. thanks for that, man. I got to go contemplate my life.
That was more a commentary on my hopes for longevity than...
A big brother taking out his aggression on a little brother.
Just so you know, that was it. Was more optimistic view of me and pessimistic of you.
So yeah, but we
have. Moving
on. Yeah. I don't know. Coming back to this whole idea of like, I think what you do is you say there are these underlying markers, right? Your email address is one. Your phone number is one. Your AIM username is one.
Fingerprint.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I was going to go to. Is you have all of these unique usernames that are tethered to you, and the trick really is to figure out how to get those linked to you in a way that you are unique. You have a unique fingerprint that all of these different accounts are linked to, and then at some point it doesn't really matter what your username is, because now it's just a matter of, which is really what all of this is going towards, right?
Almost,
that's the whole idea.
It's almost like you need, how would I describe this? Like, I'm thinking like a personal DNA, what you are given at birth, which is a scary number for all I care, but it's like, think of it like your mailing address, right? As you know, because you've now moved. You then tell the switchboard, the post office, hey, send all my mail to here now. This is my address. And as far as the post office is concerned, that address can point to multiple and it could who it points to could change over time, but they just know, oh, okay, I'm going to deliver mail here, and they've told me this is where they're at, you know, and I'm not describing it very well. But, you know,
really
you move, and someone else registers, but they still deliver to the same place. So you could set it up where it's like, and landlines used to be this way, and heck, so were phone numbers before, you know, some rule changed and you could take them with you. But, you know, it was this idea of, hey, you know, this email address, this now points to me, and the system, whether it's Yahoo or Gmail, is smart enough to know, oh, that's his inbox. Clearly Yahoo is, because they're willing to give them away to new people.
Right.
So they have some system of differentiating users, but it would be cool if there was some sort of universal, I'm thinking like Social Security or even something greater to make it international level of identification, Big Brother will really be watching.
I was going to say, I mean, you know, between the Mark of the Beast and the NSA, I'm not much for worrying about that kind of stuff, obviously, but, you know, we are kind of pushing it to the breaking point. If it's going to break, that's where it's going to break. But at the same time, it's like that's where it all goes. That's the general direction that we put. Because I guess what my point is that it doesn't make any sense to have your identity be tethered to your address. Where right now we use our address as our identity. You use your Matthew@gmail.com as your username for – I don't have Matthew@gmail.com.
Oh, that's right. You don't. You're good.
Say,
you're good.
I'm just going to give them away all the way today. Honestly, but
that would be awesome if you did.
Dude,
I think it was fun fact, person on the show, David Perry. I think he said that when he first joined Twitter, I can't remember what it was. It was either David at David or at Perry was available, and he didn't take it.
He's got to be at Perry, right? I mean, David would be absurd if he could. If he could have gotten at David, not.
He was on really, really early, and. Yeah, it was something like that. And he didn't even think about it. He just did his gamer tag because that's what he does. And, he was just – and then it was in retrospect because you could look up when someone started, you know, when they joined. And so later on he went and looked and went, are you kidding me? I was on like 2 months before this person. I could have had awesome – it might have been David. But, you know, whatever it was that – because he didn't – he also didn't realize that Twitter would become another one of those – type of ID things.
Right.
Like, ah!
Yeah. So, you know who I really hate, though, and I talk about him every once in a while in my burning passion, is Matt Mullenweg, because he's got ma.tt.
But don't worry, he hates the dancing Matt, or, you know, where's Matt, or whatever that is.
Yeah, that's true.
He outranks him in the search engines.
Yeah,
search for Matt, or Matthew, whatever it is.
But, yeah.
So... all have people you hate. It's okay.
Yeah. There's always a bigger fish in the sea, man. Unless you're the dancing Matt, in which case, you're just on top.
Which he's probably like, man, I wish I had Matthew.com or Matt.com.
Right, yeah. Matt.com. Actually, that's the tough one. Matt.com. Let's see. It's a Matt furniture store. Matt's blog. Thoughts on life and liberty. Really? Mortality without God. Introducing Pactualism, a new ethical framework. This guy sounds boring.
What?
Wow. How did he get Matt.com?
I feel like with a little bit of money.
It's funny. You know what?
Get on this.
I was going to say. You know what? But I don't want Matt.com. You know which one I want. I'm not a Matt. You walk on a mat. I want... oh, my goodness. Matthew.com's... A blank site. It's blank in that it's owned by somebody who wants to charge obscene amounts for it. But
you know, you just gotta ask.
It's true. They might be hurting for cash, and I might have just enough to tempt it my way. Anyways, but all this goes back to the idea of it doesn't make any sense to have. Like you were saying, you need to have your identity, and there needs to be a unique fingerprint, whether it's DNA or a ring that you keep with you, or a DNA reading ring that you keep with you, or a USB stick or something, or just the nature of the devices that you use. Because if you think about it, your Apple ID is your ID, and it has a number of addresses in that it's got your iPad, your iPhone, and your Mac. If you have the whole suite in your Apple TV as this suite of different IP addresses where it can send everything, and then within that context, it's got a bunch of different services that it can push around, whether it's iMessage or FaceTime or iTunes. And so they do that to a large they do that to a large degree, where you know they do that all that management of the difference between your address and your ID and the different services you're going for, and automatically, you know, handle all of that. Which it doesn't. I think that this is a moot point. I think within the next 5 years, especially 10 years, holy cow, I don't think you'll have to worry about, especially because we all hold, you know, carry our smartphones with us, if this becomes your unique fingerprint on the web, and as long as it's near the computer that you're trying to log into, then all that is your ID, and then when you, you know, bump phones to share your identity, your information, or, you know, AirDrop or whatever, when you connect, say, this is my identification on everything, when I give it to you, I can give you access to different accounts, and but you've gotten the core communication, you know, link, and now it's just a matter of what I give you access to. Do I give you my phone number, I give you my email, I give you this, I give you that, I give you my Reddit, I give you my Facebook, I give you my, or can I just give you everything, you know? I think that that's the direction it goes, and at that point, who cares what your email address is? Because you're not going to type your email address, and you're going to type the person's name, or more likely, you're just going to flip through your contact list until you get to the person's name. You're going to press on that, and then you're going to be like, "Hey, girl, let's go hang out Friday night," you know, and you won't really care whether you're talking to them through Gmail or FaceTime or whatever cool services out there. It'll just pick whichever one you've prioritized, and it'll go that route, and or it, you know, in Apple's case, whatever is prioritized for on your behalf, because it knows better than you, you know, so I think that's where it's going to go. And it's interesting that Yahoo's doing this, and I think it's a good publicity stunt, really, because what it really is going to do is revitalize the use of Yahoo.com as an email address, because it's going to allow people to go and, you know, look for the cool address. Outside of that, man, I don't know if it's that big of a long-term mission. I think eventually you just get to the point that your ID, your name, and the best part about it is that, you know, if you have a unique fingerprint, it doesn't matter if there's another Matthew Dean Furlow out there, his unique fingerprint's different than mine, so you can have two different names that, whatever, I don't care. Like, you got to find my unique, the real trick will be being able to figure out, you know, which one of us is the right Matthew Dean Furlow, and the answer is me, kill the other one. You know, so, I don't know. That's my thoughts on that.